This week, when the World Health Organization issued a warning about traveling to Toronto because of the SARS epidemic, the city erupted in a furor of protest. Canadian health officials even questioned the science the WHO used in making its decision. Such high-level disputes over the dangers of SARS are confusing to the public, especially to those who are planning trips to countries affected by SARS. Dr. Barry Bloom, the dean of the Harvard School of Public Health, joins us now from Boston. Dr. Bloom, I wanted to start out by asking you, while world attention has focused on SARS, a report was just issued that points out that 3,000 children a day in Africa die from malaria, and we know that thousands of people die every year from the flu, yet SARS is leading every newscast. It's on the front page of every paper. It begins to seem like it's just media hype. Is it, or is SARS really something more dangerous?
Epidemics are dangerous. And the issue in Toronto is the numbers are low. Why is the World Health Organization putting out a global alert and a Toronto alert? And the reason is to keep the numbers low. Once they get very high, as they are now in China, it is very difficult to quarantine 4,000 or 10,000 people. So the object is to stop it at the earliest time and to do so in a way that doesn't frighten people but makes them be prudent.
Well, we know that SARS cases have been reported in a number of countries around the world. Why single out only a couple of cities? I understand what you're saying about do it when it's small, but why Toronto?
There are criteria that apply equally well to China, to Singapore, and to Toronto. The numbers are different. The principles are the same. They both have transmission in the hospitals and threaten the medical community, which is the first line of defense. They have left the medical establishment and gone out into the community. So people who have had contacts in hospitals have transmitted to the community. And thirdly, in all countries, there is evidence that people have transferred or transmitted the disease from those countries to other countries. Those are three principles that if containment is done and proper precautions are done, will protect the rest of the world and those countries.
Now, aren't people constantly traveling to countries where there's a high risk of catching a disease that's at least as deadly, if not more so, than SARS?
I think not. I think that what we have to take seriously about SARS is that it is transmitted by a respiratory route. The major risk factor for acquiring it is breathing. The history of respiratory infections is not a glorious one in terms of protecting the population. I think of the 20 to 40 million people who died in 1918 from influenza, the global TB epidemic that has now gotten into communities all over the world and has been very difficult to get rid of, and measles in children spreads enormously rapidly by an aerosol route. HIV is much more deadly than SARS. But the route of transmission is very much more limited in its capability of uncontrolled spread.
Now, Asian health officials are calling now for compulsory pre-boarding checks for SARS at airports and at seaports. Will that help contain the illness?
I would think so. One sick person who doesn't need to travel, that goes onto a plane or goes into another place, runs the risk of starting another epidemic in a hospital setting. Don't forget, it was a single person that transmitted the infection to Toronto and another single person who did that to Vietnam. That's the danger of a respiratorily transmitted infectious disease.
Dr. Barry Bloom is the dean of the Harvard School of Public Health. Thanks so much, Dr. Bloom.
Thank you.